Thanks for watching, everyone. For our latest Artemis Live video interview, I'm delighted to welcome Callum Higgins from Moody's RMS. He's a product manager for Moody's RMS Event Response Services. And we also have Martin Hotz, head of Parametric NatCat at Swiss Re Corporate Solutions. So today we're going to talk about advanced catastrophe risk modeling tools and their application in delivering parametric risk transfer solutions. And there's going to be a particular focus on hurricane risk, and also the Moody's RMS H-Wind product. So with the Atlantic hurricane season now underway, it's a good time to look at what's possible with the latest models and analytics that are available for insurance, reinsurance, and of course, ILS market participants. Welcome, both of you. It's great to speak with you today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
So Martin, going to kick this off with you, and it would be good to start with a bit of a primer on parametric risk transfer. So perhaps you could explain why it can be a good complement to traditional products, and also as an alternative form of risk transfer in some cases, why your clients appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. So our clients like parametric insurance as a fast, transparent, and flexible way to complement the traditional indemnity insurance. Parametric insurance is fast, so we speak of settlement times within days to weeks. It's transparent. The loss amounts are pre-agreed between both parties, and specifically the clients like parametric because it's flexible and the funds can be used flexibly for covering types of loss that are otherwise uninsured, fall within the retention, or are otherwise sublimited. And I mean, examples can be losses relating to ingress-egress issues, wet losses, wide area damage, supply chain interruption, and so on. And in that sense, it's a good instrument to cover intangible assets, as this is also one of the reasons why parametric insurance is a popular tool in the public sector, where assets are not confined to bricks and mortar, but where emergency relief expenditures constrain budgets.
Yeah, that's a good example of the wide range of applications that we have with parametrics today. And Callum, given your role in product management at Moody's RMS, perhaps you could help by explaining a little about the H-Wind product offering, sort of what it provides to users and its relevance for the parametric structures.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. So I think H-Wind is really observation-based tropical cyclone data for the Atlantic Basin, the East Pacific, the Central Pacific Basin as well. And it's both real-time and historical. On the real-time side of things, I think it can be broken into three main components. So the first of those is the forecasting side, and that's where we really try and use all of the ensemble forecasts, which are coming from various international weather forecasting agencies. We combine those with our North Atlantic hurricane models to be able to help insurers understand, you know, what the range of their losses could be like from an event in advance of it making landfall. And we see that being used in a wide variety of event response use cases. So maybe more traditionally on the claims adjustment side, so you understand, you know, how many claims adjusters do I need in advance of landfall? Where should I deploy them? But then maybe more specifically in the insurance linked security space around live cat trading, for instance, making decisions around that, but also on the investor relations side. So being able to communicate to your investors while a storm's approaching land, you know, what it could mean for the, what that could mean for the fund, for instance. Steve, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's a really good example of a way the ILS market uses these types of real-time data, and I think that's something that's going to become increasingly important through wind seasons from now on.
Yeah, for sure. I think the ILS space is you know, one area we've seen sort of H-Wind forecasting in particular being used quite a lot. I'd say a bit more relevant probably to the parametric insurance side of things is our snapshots and footprints that we release. So our snapshots are trying to understand, you know, what is the storm doing at any one given moment. So we'll use an objective analysis of all the observational data that's available to us to be able to recreate the wind field at a moment in time, essentially. And that then forms the basis for the footprints that we produce. So we'll interpolate between each of those snapshots to provide a kind of wind field of the entire past wind history of the storm, what's the maximum wind speed at any one location? And those footprints are what we're seeing parametric insurers using to be able to trigger their parametric insurance policies. So that's on the real time. And then on the historical, we also have an archive of, I think it's over 90 historical events going back to 1992 for both these snapshots and footprints. And that's useful to parametric insurers. Partially, you know, when they're starting to work with us, just validating the HWIN model, making sure it meets their use case. But then also when it comes to selling their products, being able to use these historical examples to market their parametric insurance as well, provide sort of concrete examples of given a certain structure, what the payout might have been for a historical storm. So they can really sort of bring to life the value the product will provide to their customers.
Great. Thanks, Callum. All sounds very useful for pricing the risk as well. And Martin, perhaps now would be a good time for you to speak a little bit about how Swiss Re is specifically using the HWIN data products within your own parametric product offering.
So in a parametric product offering, generally tropical cyclone risk is one of the prominent risks. And I mean, when you think of a location that's impacted by a strong Category 4, Category 4, 5 type hurricane, then, I mean, these are truly intense wind speed events. And if you think of across a wide range of scenarios, which physical parameter has good skill vis-a-vis potential losses, then wind speed at the location really is a good loss proxy, which, I mean, if you think of this, is also not very surprising, because that's at the back end how also CAT models work, by applying that local wind speed damage relationship. So we offer parametric hurricane insurance to our commercial insureds based on the wind speed data from Moody's RMS and their HWIND real-time data. And we have issued our first policy that settles based on HWIND back in 2016. So we go back 7 years now. We're now in our 8th hurricane season of providing such cover, and did pay also in some of the industry shaping events over the past couple of years. For us, HWIND meets the criteria of being a fast, independent and reliable data service, which, as with any parametric policy, is always at the core.
Great. Thank you, Martin. Now, one of the questions that always comes up related to parametric products is around basis risk. And perhaps, Callum, you could explain how the HWIN product attempts to offset some of those concerns for protection buyers and sellers.
Yeah, so I think it kind of follows on from what Martin touched on in a way, in terms of understanding what the actual wind speed that was experienced at location being a pretty good proxy for what the damage is going to end up being. So it's about kind of in HWIN, we try and estimate that as closely as possible, essentially. I think a lot of other trigger types out there may be like a cat in a box, which is based on an intensity measure. If you're purely looking at the peak intensity of a storm, that doesn't necessarily translate into what the wind speed was experienced at a particular location, for instance. So you could have two storms, very similar peak intensity, perhaps, but just due to slightly different nature of their track, slightly different nature of the structure of those storms, could have quite different wind speeds at a particular policy's location. And then that means that's obviously going to translate into quite different damage outcomes, which may not be ideal. So on the HWIN side, what we try and do is model the wind field at as high a resolution as possible. So the HWIN footprints represented on a 1x1 kilometer grid to try and understand exactly what the wind speed experience at a particular location is as closely as possible. And then also using an observational based approach. So trying to base the footprint as much on observations as possible to mimic reality of what the wind speed was experienced at that location as closely as possible.
And all of these things obviously help to build confidence in the marketplace, and hopefully that encourages more parametric risk transfer and over time. And obviously parametric risk transfer is becoming increasingly high profile over the last few years, helped dramatically by a number of insurtechs in the space as well. Martin, is this a product your clients are increasingly using, and are you seeing any increase in activity for 2023?
So yes, we see increased uptake and also increased interest quite generally. And we also see that parametric insurance is increasingly leaving the niche it once was sitting in. It's being adapted more broadly. Also, transactions happening at scale for a larger set of perils across all continents. So it creates not only more trust on the protection buyer side, but also along the entire value chain, that also capacity is being provided at levels which are more meaningful. So we do see large corporations using parametric insurance to address gaps in their cat towers, also that captives play a role in risk transfer, including parametric schemes. But at the same time, parametric insurance isn't only just for the Fortune 500s. And we also see very rapid development in the US, for example, or also in Japan, where we do have platform offerings where brokers can quote and bind autonomously for smaller limits, as Nat Cat risk does not stop at corporate scale.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's not just about selling this to the very biggest risk transfer protection buyers. It's also making it a product that's complementary for everybody else as well, I suppose. Do you think people are getting better at thinking about how to buy a parametric alongside their traditional insurance tower, Martin?
I would say yes, collectively, as in our direct commercial insurance market, we team with brokers who also have sharpened their setup when it comes to educating our clients as to what the parametric insurance policy can be good for, when it helps with what sort of particular challenge. So I think this is a very collective effort across insurtechs, carriers, and brokers all playing their part to be in this course together.
Yeah, that's very positive to hear. It requires everybody to be singing from the same sort of sheet, doesn't it, with a product like this, and make sure people understand how it can benefit them. So if we move on, it might be helpful to think about a recent major catastrophe event such as Hurricane Ian from September 2022 and how parametrics played a role there. Callum, how was the HWIN data product set used by clients in understanding the storm throughout its life cycle, and why is that important for parametric contracts that could be at risk?
Yeah, so I think in advance of landfall, as I kind of touched on earlier, we had our forecasting products. And in the particular case of Ian, I think that was useful to a lot of our customers. The storm was very uncertain, even a couple of days in advance of landfall. It wasn't really certain whether it was going to be sort of a weaker landfall up in the Florida Panhandle, or as it did end up being sort of a stronger landfall further south of Tampa in the Fort Myers, Cape Coral region. But by providing our different forecast scenarios with HWIN's customers, we're kind of able to understand what those two different plausible scenarios might mean for their business, but also the kind of relative likelihood of those different scenarios occurring. Now, from the parametric insurance side, I guess that was somewhat useful in terms of being able to understand, okay, depending which way the storm tracks, which of our policies could be in play here. But as I touched on earlier, I think for the parametric insurance, it's kind of that footprint that we make available immediately following landfall that helps users to understand, what the maximum wind speed was experienced. Do we need to make a payout here? I think Ian in particular was a good example of some of the advantages of HWIND. It was a bit unique in terms of having the strongest wind speeds out on the left-hand side of the storm, which is quite unusual for a North Atlantic hurricane. But with HWIND being based on the observations were available, the footprint was kind of able to capture that unique feature of the storm and mean that any policyholders who were kind of sitting out in that location out to the left-hand side of the storm, were getting the payouts that they were entitled to for the wind speeds that were experienced, which might not have been captured from sort of another using other sorts of wind field models to be able to represent the storm.
And I guess that's also incredibly helpful for anyone else who might have exposure in the area to know where those peak wind speeds are going to be as the storm comes inland, whether they've got parametric cover or not.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's another way we see sort of H-wind footprints being used, not only from a parametric insurance perspective, but also from traditional insurers being able to, given we update this footprint every 6 hours, immediately following landfall, it gives them a really quick view as to, you know, which are the locations that have experienced the most severe wind speeds, you know, which are the accounts, which are the policy holders, which we need to kind of really focus on in our response to this event.
Also really important for the insurance and securities market as well, where they're often sitting there with a huge amount of exposure and very slow reporting coming through from cedents in some cases, given the complexities of storms like this. Great. So I'm going to move on. And finally, Martin, I mean, given your extensive experience in the field, it'd be good to hear about your vision for the future of parametric hurricane risk transfer and how you see this developing over this wind season and beyond.
Yeah, I guess given the relative novelty of parametric insurance in the insurance industry as a whole, I think a lot boils down to seeing equals believing. And I mean, Ian is just one of the storms where also on the basis of H-wind data, we settled claims very rapidly, and by now we have about 300 policies in our global parametric NatCat book, and with the greater number of policies live, we also pay on more and more NatCat claims. I think that's good, because when our customers experience firsthand how great the claims experience a parametric insurance policy can deliver, then hopefully they will tell their peers. And then my vision really is that very soon parametric insurance is no longer referred to as the alternative form of risk transfer, but just as a accepted form of risk transfer that's part of an integral part of a comprehensive risk management strategy.
Absolutely, yeah. It's getting it embedded into the buying patterns of the risk transfer buyers, making sure it's something that's always being considered as a complement rather than alternative, as you say. And finally, Callum, at Moody's RMS, you're always updating, calibrating your models and services, but perhaps you can explain how this can help to make parametric triggers more accurate and enhance the utility of the product as a risk transfer complement and move it away from the alternative it is looked at today.
Yeah, so I think there's kind of a few components to that. So the first one I'd probably allude to is on the vulnerability side. So as we get new claims data from events, as you know, there's lessons learned from recent events, we incorporate that into our models to improve the vulnerability side of things. And I just think that increases the confidence in that link between the hazard and the ultimate damage that ends up as a result of parametric insurance contracts. So then when our advisory team might be you know, designing any parametric triggers, having the confidence in that vulnerability really helps to ensure that that parametric product is then going to, you know, to meet the goals of the customer. I think the hazard side is important too. So while improvements on the vulnerability side might help design better triggers, reduce the basis risk, on the hazard side, improvements there on parametric triggers are really going to help provide a better understanding of what's an appropriate price for a particular parametric bond that might go out in the market, as well as just increasing the transparency to investors around, you know, what sort of risk profile they might be taking on with a particular product in the market. And then finally, I think just, you know, the expansion in terms of the coverage of peril regions that we're covering with our models as well. I think the more peril regions that we cover, the more areas that opens up in terms of where parametric insurance might be able to be offered. And that's not only from the model perspective as well, but I think also from the data side in terms of what we're providing in response to events and in real time. So H-Winds is a good example of where we started to do that sort of a data product where you can use that as a parametric trigger. I guess we're also, as we, you know, increase our event response coverage, we're also exploring, you know, are there other areas where our event response data could be used as a parametric trigger? One kind of example of that that came up recently is someone who was interested in maybe using our event response storm surge footprints that we're producing as an option to trigger parametric insurance contracts, you know, with water becoming a bigger issue in terms of losses that we're seeing. Can we use some of the data products that we're putting out there to expand sort of what where parametric triggers can be used and using Moody's RMS data as that source for it?
Great. Thank you, Callum. So it's great to hear from both of you, really, that the product set is improving and expanding, and we hope people are going to have increasing confidence in parametrics going forwards as well, which is good for the marketplace and good for the protection buyers too. So look, thank you very much. Appreciate you both spending some time with me today. Thanks, Callum, and thank you, Martin, as well.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Yeah, thanks very much. Really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you.
Great. Thank you both.